Let me look. The 21st?
Yeah. Same time, same bat.
Yeah, I should be able to.
Okay, great. It's just really helpful, as you know, when we all are talking together.
Sure, yeah. No, I should be on both calls.
Oh, that's great. All right. We have a few more dinging in. We'll give it just a minute, and then we'll see who is joining us today. All right, well, I think the dinging has stopped, and so we'll go ahead and find out who all's on the phone. This is Hillary. I heard Sheila on the phone, as well as Michael and Stephen from the Secretary of State's office. I know Connie and Rudy and Joyce won't be joining us. Bo is joining late. So with that, Cynthia is also online. Amber, are you on?
I'm here.
Great. And Renee?
I'm here.
Excellent. Fran?
Here.
And Elena?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. And like I said, Bo's going to be late. And then from the Secretary of State's office, Michael, is anyone else joining?
I don't think so. I think it's just me. I know Judd... him and Hillary are on another phone call, I noticed. He may join later.
Okay. And, you know, it's kind of one of those where it's whoever can join. So
sure.
When I ask that, that's really, I don't know who's supposed to and who is, so it's great.
Yeah, I think you guys Judd and Vicky maybe. I went back to Vicky's station earlier. She wasn't there, and then, like I said, Judd was on a call, so I would assume he'll jump on at some point.
Great. And did I then miss anybody else who dinged in? Did it in such a nonlinear manner. Well, all right, so today's meeting is, we're scheduled from 9 until 11, and then we have a meeting scheduled next week, 9 until 11:30. The outcome of both of these meetings is to gather, and I think it will still probably be preliminary information, to report to the COBAME committee on the November 25th meeting. So, with that, it's reviewing the election, you know, starting our next round of what worked, where our business practices, and using the information for, you know, essentially what's next and where do we need to focus our time as a committee. So we'll start with some roundup, and what I thought for process-wise, we'll take each subject, and then we'll just have each county comment from what their experience was. I was going to change, I don't know if you guys have the order in front of you, I was going to be a little more linear, and instead of ending with training, I thought we'd actually start with training since that's actually the first process that we begin with. So with that note, do I have a volunteer county who wants to talk about what they, you know, how their training went, what they learned, and what they would look to do in, oh, I'm sorry, Fran, are you on the phone too?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. I think I just realized I forgot to say you. So,
no, you
starting.
Did.
Oh, I did.
Okay. Include. Yep.
I'm so bad about that. Sorry. So then, with training, what you learn, what is important for this group, what's important for the commission to know, especially as we move with what we learned from this year to moving towards 2014. So do I have a county who would like to start with their experience? Okay, that means I get to pick one, huh? that I thought I might have a volunteer. Well, I'll start with our county then. What we did a week of training and a lot of situation practice. We actually opened a center early because of the floods to help with replacement ballots or anyone who had any issues either with their residency or address. And with that, it allowed us to kind of cycle people through as part of the training. We found that pretty helpful. I think, again, it's really getting people to understand it's a different model. We had done early voting and replacement ballots in a similar fashion last year, so that wasn't too much of a learning curve. And it's, you know, getting people to do the training that they've been trained to, I think, is the ongoing issue there. We also looked at, you know, not just for the voter service and polling centers training, but I think we're in the preliminary review stages of having more specific training for our other positions that we do. I mean, we have a pretty significant signature verification training. We do a fair amount of training, but it's usually right before the start of the shift with our opening and separators. So I think really the message we took away from our training is to just up it and add a little more time to it before we get started. So that's the high level from us. Anybody want to go next, or do I just pick somebody up?
This is Sheila. I think we felt pretty good about the training that we provided this time, but we only had three service centers to keep going, so that wasn't too bad. One of the things that we realized is we need to do more communicating with, like, the buildings that have a drop box in them. So, you know, a lot of people stopped at the front desk, and we didn't give those give those people enough of the FAQs to help save some time. So that was a lesson.
County buildings where there may be an information desk or...
Right, yeah. So, like, one of the examples, the biggest one for us is we put a 24-hour box outside of our Department of Human Services building, mm-hmm. and people didn't see the outside box and would walk into the front kiosk area and then would start asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
So their kiosk person didn't have a quick rundown. And then the other thing that we realized is we also got about 40% of our ballots at the very end of the timeline in the last 2 days. So we will train more people to open and flatten and prepare for tabulation there at the last minute.
Yeah, did others find that? I mean, I know we were really surprised because we'd had a pretty steady, you know, Monday, Tuesday number of ballots coming in through the mail, and same thing. We couldn't believe how late the ballots got turned in this year.
Us too.
Yeah.
Ours as well.
Yeah.
Sheila, this is Michael. The 40% you just referenced, were the majority of those ballots that were returned in the mail or ballots that were dropped off?
Dropped off.
Dropped off. Okay. So you're seeing a lot of drop off right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And we've seen that in previous elections, but in 2012 we did not. So it was interesting. This one, there's always a something in each election that makes it unique. So we'll see if this is unique or a new pattern.
Indeed. So any additions to your VSPC training? I know Catherine worked really hard on those manuals, and we found them super helpful. Just more and earlier, or what's sort of the takeaway?
Yep, more and earlier.
Okay.
Hillary, this is Cynthia. I'll volunteer next.
Great.
We did a 5-day training for our first site mm-hmm. here at the courthouse, which opened early. It opened the same day ballots got mailed. And we trained from the manual, and towards the end of the class, we felt really good about it. We had a lot of repetition. We did a lot of mock and, you know, playing and things like that. Towards the end, we talked about having quick reference guides developed for each process because it's so complicated, and we ended up doing that. And when I trained the next group, which was our Loveland site, which opened 28, we trained off the manual, and then we used, for the mock, we used our quick reference guides, and that worked amazingly well.
That's great.
So that was really a bonus, and they would pull those out whenever they had that specific type of voter and just follow it step by step. So we felt really good about the training. We were very slow in the beginning, and then it started to pick up Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. Tuesday was just unbelievable at the courthouse. So we thought things went well, but definitely needs for improvement. So get more judges towards the end.
Yeah, great. And maybe we cover it when we go into talking about mail ballots. So, okay, great. And did you guys do specific training for the other positions? I mean, one of them that comes to mind for us is drive-by. I know that's one of ours. We'll definitely be looking at doing a bit more training with, which it doesn't seem that complicated, but, you know, somehow.
It is. It really is.
There's a certain focus that you can't assume people will have.
Agreed. So. We set ours up like the vote center, so we always did specific training, specific job training. So, for example, our teacher verification, our duplication, our drop boxes, our greeters. So each one had unique training.
And so they weren't cross-trained?
No, they were not cross-trained. The only ones that were cross-trained were our supervisor, troubleshooter, and our computer supervisor.
Gotcha. And does that cause any, you know, I mean, you guys have been doing that way for a while. Does it cause any shortage issues or staffing things? Again, since part of our group is to hopefully recommend some best practices as well. Do you find, you know, is there any challenges with that?
Well, there are some. We had, for example, when we started off, we had 18 judges at one time. Mm. So we ended up cutting that back towards the end of the week, just half, odd even, coming in. The supervisor, troubleshooter, and computer supervisor were able to fill in at positions, and so that actually helped us quite a bit. But no, otherwise, everybody was always just, it was went well enough that we didn't have to worry about jumping in and doing that for the other groups.
Great. And is that similar to what you used to do for your, because I know you guys are a vote center county, so this isn't.
We set it up very much like our vote
center. Yeah. And is that usually the same amount of judges you have? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Usually a few more judges, but about the same. Depends on the site. Mm-hmm. And we bring back a lot of recurring judges, so they know how it operates.
Great.
So that helps us significantly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Great. Who wants to go next?
This is Amber. I can go over our stuff. So training first, right? Is that
We're going to do training, and then we'll move on to each subject. They kind of blend. I get it. So, but the theory is
So for our VSPC training, we do a couple of different things. For registration judges in particular, we require all of our registration judges as well as supervisors to go through what we call tour of duty and voter registration. So throughout the year, we, like with voter merge or with different projects, if we've got data entry, we basically require folks that are going to be temporary election judges to go through voter registration so that they have that experience and knowledge base and score, and it's much easier for them to pick up and run with it when they're managing service centers. So they go through a tour of duty, which can be a week to 2 weeks, depending on what our needs are with data entry. And then in addition to that, they have a two-hour registration training and a two-hour simulation, as well as a two-hour team simulation. So some of them would have gotten 86 hours or so of training in registration, depending on what their situation was. The tour of duty we've been doing for a few years, and it's tremendously successful because then when we get them into registration training where we're talking about the early voting module or active ballots or surrendering or mail ballots, score is like second nature to them. It's easy for them to deal with it. They've had experience searching, registering people, what have you. So that's worked very well. We've done that for the last two or three years. Then the supervisors go through all of that as well as a supervisor-specific training. And then machine judges also go through a specific machine judge training. And once all of that technical training is done, we have what we call simulation team training. And so we train each site, and we had eight sites for this election. So they each go through a team simulation site training, and they literally go through the full setup, running a service center. They simulate voters in all the different scenarios for registration, issuing ballots, accepting mail ballots, filling out the logs, and they do a whole run-through on ballot transport security, how they switch out the boxes and work with the ballot security teams to do that. They also simulate setting up the tent and doing a full drive-up simulation outside. So they do, it's literally just a whole A to Z on the service center, and that worked extremely well this year. When we haven't done sort of the team simulation in the past, sometimes these people would meet each other for the first time on the first day. And so that kind of eliminated the, getting to know each other kind of the first day. They knew each other. They were able to, work as a team and had practiced doing that. then we also, we have a registration manual, a machine manual, and then a supervisor notebook that has all the different manuals as well as all the log sheets and what have you. And then we have quick guides for each piece as well, in particular a registration quick guide that was a one-page reference guide that they could have sitting there at their fingertips at the table with them, which was very, very effective for helping them kind of troubleshoot or what have you. And it also kind of reminded them of what to do first, what to do next, those were utilized in a great way out in the field. So that was training, and then that. Do you want to know about all the internal training, or were we kind of just focused on field training?
Yeah, mostly. I was thinking the bigger change was for this election was the VSPC. The rest of it, that's another question. Did you do anything different? Because we've done mail ballot before. Was there any changes to your?
Well, and that what I just described is actually similar to how we handled our training for last year with early voting and the primary. Mm-hmm. Really, service centers aren't really a new thing. So we did it very similar. We just enhanced a few things. And then internally, we do for verification gets the most training. So they also do the score training. And then we have a handwriting and analysis expert that trains law enforcement and the FBI come in and do signature verification training for a few hours, as well as then they go on to their score training and through all of that. So we have quite a lot for verification. And then the other rooms, it's fairly straightforward. So it's an hour or so, and then they're ready to go. But that all, we've done that before, so that's all pretty straightforward. And then we obviously have all of we have a hotline that supports the voter service and polling centers. So those people that are on the phones have to go through all of the training. Hmm. So they get quite a bit. We have our voter hotline. They get a lot of training, and then they do the tour of duty as well. So there's all the internal operational type training that happens, including the technical support and response teams as well. In terms of sort of the operational side, Denver has always had about at least 52% of our ballots dropped off in person. That was our kind of number last year. We saw 64% this year, likely just an increase in the number of drop boxes and drop locations because we have 13 24-hour drop boxes. We had 8 sites. We had 8 drive-ups. So we had 64% of our ballots come in that were dropped off in person at one of those locations, and we tracked all the numbers for each one. We had 49,000 ballots processed through our office on Election Day, so about 50,000 plus 1,800 or so in-person cast on Election Day itself. We received about 65,000 to 70,000 ballots between Monday and Tuesday. So the bulk of our turnout happened, and that matches our historic projections. So we were actually within a couple hundred ballots of what we expected to receive on Election Day based on our historic projections. So we were adequately staffed in every area, and there were no issues with the volume that we received. So
great.
All right.
Kind of
the overview.
Okay. Great. Volunteer for next?
This is Renee in Delta. We really this year did a lot of staff for our VSPCs. Since how we only needed one, we did it out of our office. So there wasn't a lot of training involved with us this year. I did staff some election judges basically to just man the drop-off box and then direct them into us if they needed a replacement or if they were going to early vote. We used our counting judges and our signature judges that we've always used, so I didn't have to implement a lot of training this year at all.
Great. And was the one site sufficient?
We also have the North Fork Annex. We have that. We made that a service center as well. It mostly just received drop-off and replacements. They didn't do any early voting there. And I used a retired staff member, Sharon, staffed that for me.
Oh, great. Great.
So there, I didn't have to train her either.
Great. All right. And then Fran, I think that's, and I don't know if Bo's joined us yet.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Bo.
Hey.
You want? We're breaking it out by subject, starting with training. What, you know, what worked? Did you do stuff different?
You know, we did a lot of our training for the recall election, and then because we had 8 sites for the recall election, we kind of cherry picked who the best judges at the VSPC sites were, and then brought them in a day early and did simulations and joint training with all of them so they to make sure that they understood. We had a total of one voter the first day that we opened. So I think that person got a little bit too much service.
Overserved?
Yeah. I think they were a little weirded out by all these people that were trying to help them. And but, you know, we didn't change a lot. We kind of tweaked it because obviously it was a different election and we were using different methods. But we didn't tweak a lot of what the training was. And the people that we had were already very highly trained and been through difficult circumstances. They were kind of let down by the turnout at the VSPC. We only had one VSPC in Pueblo County, and I think we had, I want to say, 360 voters at that one VSPC over the time period that we were open. We also experienced, and since we didn't have mail ballots during the recall election, we had to call in a lot of the judges that we used in 2012. And we probably had a half new crew, and so the judges from 2012 trained the judges for this election, the other half, in the first couple days of the mail ballot processing, and got them up to speed, and it worked really well. I think we were probably at full speed by 1 o'clock that day, the first day, and but we also experienced the 40% on the day before and election day. And that proved to be a huge challenge for us. On election night, we still had 10,000 ballots to process at 11 p.m. Excuse me. So we called it a night, started fresh the next morning, and finished by 5 p.m. in the afternoon the next day. We surprisingly got no pushback from the press. There were, of course, we didn't have very close races, but that is definitely something that we want to fix for the 2014 election, and we're going to have some internal discussions on how that's going to be fixed.
Yeah, thanks. All right. Fran? I think you're...
Okay.
You're up.
I'm up. Much like Renee, we did it here at our office, so there wasn't a whole lot of training issues.
So I did have two brand new staff members that were working. And so as we've always done, we always have hands-on training such that it's been described by Amber and everyone else. So we've always had, I found ever since I took office, that we have kind of a lecture session about an hour for terminology, things like that. And then we sit down and go through the scenario. So that's always worked for us. So I have no drastic changes there. Our VSPC was very slow in getting started. What I mean by that is the number of voters coming in, very, very slow at the very beginning. We were beginning to wonder if we were even going to need our VSPC. I only am required to have one. I had two because I have such a wide gap in area where citizens are at. So we call it our West End. So we had one over there as well, and they had the same issue. Again, staff mandate, so there were no issues there. I did have some problems with wireless connectivity. It seemed to run pretty slowly. It didn't appear to be on our end when we took a look at that. I don't know if anyone else had any of those issues with the wireless connectivity. So I'd like to investigate that. Mm-hmm. We did get really busy starting the Friday before. Saturday, of course, we had nobody. we generally don't. And so I don't know if that's something that I know probably on the bigger counties that's I'd like to see how many people come on Saturdays to the bigger counties.
Yeah, I think we had one.
One. Friday, Monday, and Tuesday, we were hit really hard, and it wasn't new registrations.
Yeah.
It was replacements and people dropping off their ballots. It almost appeared as if there were robocalls going out there and hounding people to get the vote in. That's what it appeared, because we were really slammed with replacements, and that's kind of unusual unless they're getting phone calls. That's mm-hmm. normally the trend that I see. So that's basically where we were at with the replacements, and there wasn't a lot of people that wanted the flat ballot or to vote on the machines, surrendering ballots. I think we had all of 70 that turned in their ballots and wanted a flat ballot or to vote on a machine. That's very, very minimal compared to our population.
Great. All right.
That's about all I have.
Great. Thanks, Fran. Did I get everybody? Okay. All right. Well, let's get in. I know you guys, I tried to capture some of the numbers you already threw out for some of the other categories, but let's go through those, and we'll see where we get. We'll just rotate who starts. So let's go into mail ballots. Starting, we'll do the whole section with you, with each county, and then move on to the next. And these are just, again, the holding spots for some of these. So with getting your ballots, you know, from the printer and delivered, anything change or any, you know, anything that you would be either remembering or thinking about for 24, and I'm starting with Mesa, sorry. Anything in the delivery categories of getting the ballots mailed out?
Yeah, make sure the names are in the correct order.
What does that mean?
We had our printer, when we sent it over, they placed our fields in the wrong order, so it was middle name, last name, first name.
So, did you catch like, that on their samples they sent you?
No, because the sample they sent was generic, like Ashley Carol Rogers.
Ah, gotcha.
Or something. I don't remember exactly what it was. But, no, we missed it on the proof. And, yeah, so that was a bit of a tough start.
Yeah.
But that was the only thing.
And thank goodness. Rest good with that? Great.
Yeah, and, you know, we tried to explain to everybody it didn't change the way we checked their ballots in, because the barcode brought up their name in the correct order in our database, and the signature's the signature that we were comparing against. So it really didn't hurt the process, but it caused a lot of phone calls and concern.
Confusion, Great. And then drop-off, 24-hour boxes and drive-bys, how do you have a percentage of what came in through that method? And any, did you do 24 hours? I heard some of your comments on your 24-hour boxes was training the building that they're out front of, making sure the people inside know what's going on.
I don't have that right. I didn't think to prepare that before the phone call, but I know we have the numbers. But I do remember my elections director saying that the drop boxes did better than the other boxes, and the 24 hours.
The 24 hours
did better. Mm-hmm. And I know that I think at least one more will be put out for the 2014 elections, 24-hour style.
How many did you have? How many 24 hours did you have?
We had three.
3 24 hours? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then did you do drive-by? And then obviously there was drop-off at all of your service centers, but...
We didn't do drive-by.
Okay. Great. Just more so when we have the conversation, we're pretty what it is. No drive-by. Okay. Great. And then we talked a little bit about returned mail. How... again, that's like the percentage that came back from mail, which we can, next week's call, we can add in some numbers. Anything, any issues with, not maybe not necessarily the numbers, but anything with the post office or getting your ballots back from the post office?
No, and, it, you know, they were significantly less. The undeliverables we saw were the inactive failed to votes that were activated.
Mm.
Mainly. So that I think that it was a little bit higher this time than we'll see in future elections, even.
That's interesting. Okay. And then you thought that there were, that it was less returned by mail?
Oh, definitely overall. It was like half the amount we normally get.
Interesting. And yet you had a higher turnout.
Yes.
Gotcha. And then... I guess I, and so you, I think you mentioned this earlier, but what percent did you get on? On the Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, about 40% of the ballots that came back were received on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, great. I saw that I had it captured up.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's, you said, usually it's 25 to 30% is what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Great. All right. And then anything with replacements, unusual number or?
No.
No.
Everything went really, really smooth. Our in-person voters numbers were extremely low, like everybody else, and including replacements. I mean, just everything was just super, super slow until Election Day. And even then, it was completely manageable. It just was, finally, it felt like an election.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Anything else for mail ballot processing for the good of the order? Other than, of course, we love them.
Mrs. Friend, I'd just like to point out, you know, we've been doing mail ballot here in Montrose County for this type of election for a number of years, so there was really absolutely no difference. Our office is located right across the street from the post office, and so we normally have the walk-ins that drop off their mail ballots, but there was absolutely no difference between what was mailed in from you know, historically to what was dropped off. We really get our first rush that first week of the returns through the mail, and that's where the majority of ours comes in from. And then our citizens are very, very comfortable with the mail process as we've been doing it for some time.
Great. And then anything with, sounds, you know, with getting the ballots out, anything noteworthy or other than the same?
Nothing there. I've been using the same vendor. We did go out for RFP process normally every single year, and I was finding that bouncing around between vendors was very chaotic for us and the vendor because we could never get on the same page, even though we had it lined out in the RFP. So I decided I didn't have to do the RFP process, I just wanted to be competitive, that I decided to go with the same vendor as we went with last year, and that made things run incredibly smooth. We were all on the same page. They knew what the expectations were ahead of time, so it made it really, really nice.
Yeah, there definitely is a learning curve there, huh?
It definitely is.
Yeah, because each county does it, has their processes. And how long does your RFP last for? I know ours is 3 years, 4 years. How long?
Like I said, I was doing it every year.
Does your county have a requirement that if you have to go back out for bid?
No.
Or is it? No. Okay.
No, it fell under the line where I had to have an RFP. It fell way below that line, and I just did it to be competitive, you know, just to just what was out there. But I was finding it being competitive wasn't necessarily the way to go. It was more beneficial to work with a vendor that consistently gave me the great costs, but also we passed that learning curve and we could be consistent on how we mail things out.
That's great. What about drop-off 24-hour boxes or drive-bys? Anything that you did different this election?
Nothing different. We don't have 24-hour. The drop box is right out front in the lobby, so we have a judge that sits on that. Again, we're right across the street from the post office. So as people are coming into motor vehicle or the treasurer's office, assessor's office doing business, or even coming to the post office, they just drop it off. Nothing changed at all.
Okay, great. What about undeliverables? Anything there?
I did see a decrease in the undeliverables. We did process our NCOA quite, you know, as much as we could. That helped a great deal there. Again, I have to agree with Sheila that the most that we saw was the fail to vote.
The inactive fail to vote.
Right.
Great. And then maybe at some point we'll dig a little deeper into that if we think numbers are needed. Replacements, it sounds like, pretty much no blips there, the usual?
No, there were more replacements than usual. It was kind of, again, like I said, you know, it's like there was someone out there making robocalls. Because we did have an extreme, I think an abnormal amount. I don't know the percentages at this point. But there was, on those last 3 days, an abnormal amount of replacements, kind of like, I saw it in 2012 and 11 when there was some controversial issues on there. It was that last day where if you hadn't voted yet by, you know, if they looked online and saw you hadn't voted, they were calling going, get in there and vote. Well, I don't have my ballot. Well, go in and get a provisional ballot, you know. So no, go in and get a replacement, and that's what I saw a lot of.
Yeah, okay. And do you have any numbers of how much you did on that Monday, Tuesday time period or...
No, I haven't pulled those together yet, yeah.
Okay. It sounds like anecdotally that was higher than you normally get in that time period.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We can look at that. Continue. Okay, great. Anything else to add for mail ballot other than do that, really no difference?
Do that, no difference. I love it. Let's keep going.
Keep them coming. All right. That's great. Cynthia, you want to go next with... You know, kind of the same order, like delivery, any learnings, issues, or,
sure, not
you know,
a problem.
Additions?
No, we really didn't. Not that I'm aware of for delivery. And we did not have any 24-hour drop boxes. We did have three judges to keep bipartisanship for our drop-off sites.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we had them at our sites in addition to our motor vehicle offices. And then the last 4 days, we actually tried something new, which was grocery stores. And that was interesting.
Oh, and how did that go?
It was interesting.
Because my thought is that's
we'll
a place.
Do it again.
Oh, really? Oh, I'd like to know more. Because that's one of my thoughts is with some of the judges that will be displaced from polling places, that might be a good place for them.
Yeah. It was
out in the community.
It was an interesting concept. I mean, the community, I think they really liked it, but I think they got very confused because we only use select. Main brand stores, and so I think they got a little confused about which one was which.
Gotcha.
I didn't have a lot of involvement on that, so just from what I've heard in the office, but I heard it was interesting. But yes, they were very, very good turnout, from what I understand. I don't have any numbers. I know that we were a little higher than we were in 2011, which was a busy election year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say we had maybe about 90,000. But that's
in the last 2 days?
Yeah. Actually, no. Let me look here. I want to say like 20,000, 21,000 the last day, and maybe 17,000 on that Monday. I was thinking it was pretty high for our drops. But our grand total was around 100,000, I believe, 98,000, 99,000. So.
Great. And that's more than 11?
More than 11, definitely. Let's see. The returned mail, obviously, because we had a lot of voters displaced from the flood. We had quite a few undeliverables from that. We actually did a lot of replacements at our BSPC sites, as well as we had a lot of people who wanted to vote in person.
We'll get down to that, but if you want to throw out the number, I'll put it in.
I don't have exacts, unfortunately. I'm still trying, to go through it. Get ready for Canvas.
No worries. It's kind of the preliminary, and I'll email out what we have, and we can add to it.
That'd be great.
Okay. And then what about undeliverables? You had quite a few.
From the asbestos and the
from
flood.
From the flood.
Yeah, we did.
How were your inactive failed votes?
I believe they were also high. We're still trying. Not the one that
analyzing today.
So other people get analyzed.
Yes, exactly.
So we are going to be putting all those statistics in together.
Great. Okay. And then no issues with getting the bail back from the post office and all that?
Not that I'm aware of. No, not at all.
Great. Like, and then replacements more than usual, or?
No, probably about the same number. We always have, quite a few. Obviously, we probably did have higher replacements due to the flood. Other than that, not that I'm aware of.
And did you do any, I know you guys mailed ballots out early to those in the flood area. Did you do any outreach with after you got their undeliverable ballots back?
Yes, we did. We did try to deal with that, and we did try to get their ballots, obviously forwarded on to them. And I know we had quite a, we're working on statistics on that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's the same, what's the difference? So, okay.
Yeah.
And were you able to know which ones were flood impacted, or did you just treat all your undeliverables with a little more?
Well, obviously we went through them, but we were able to tell pretty much our areas and our ballot styles, and so we identified, 5 ballot styles that probably were impacted from that, and obviously Estes Park. The other thing I forgot to say is we actually sent a staff member. We sent Virginia up to Estes Park. She got to go to the resort town for the duration for training as well as for the entire time the site was open. So.
I'm sure they appreciated that. That's great. Okay. Anything else to add for mail?
I have. No.
All right.
Sounds like it went pretty well.
Great. Amber, I'm glad you guys start with delivery. Post office or getting the ballots to the post office?
No, I mean, we have used the same vendor. We've had very good luck with them. We do a significant audit process. I mean, we use a vendor that's in Denver, so we can be there from the moment ballots start getting printed and inserted. We audit extensively throughout the process to be sure the address labeling, the barcodes, everything is the way it should be. So all of that was seamless, and then our ballot trace system has really given us an accountability tool with the post office. So once we dropped our ballots by, 7 a.m. the next morning, we were able to call the post office and say, here's the rates that you scanned for each zip code. A couple of these are low. Why haven't all these been scanned yet? I mean, we literally knew within, probably 20 hours or so of dropping where we were in terms of every single ballot and where it was in the post office. So it's great. That has significantly helped our operation from an accountability perspective with the post office, because we can identify issues proactively. So that was great. In terms of
drop off 24-hour boxes and drive by, sound like
So 64% of the ballots that we received were dropped off in person. So that's an increase from previous. We normally see around 52% or 52 to 55. So that's an increase. We had 48,000 dropped off at our 24-hour boxes, which were the heaviest area for drop off, and then 37,000 dropped off at drive-through drop-off. So those two things are definitely the most popular. We had 13 24-hour drop boxes. We're probably going to add a few for next year because of their popularity. And we receive a lot of out-of-county ballots, I think because a lot of people work in Denver. downtown or Texas area or what have you. So we do have a lot of out-of-county coming in. In particular, some counties close to us, so perhaps maybe we'll start, you know, charging a rental fee for our drop. No, I'm just kidding. For our use of our drop boxes. But so that was all great. I mean, we'll definitely increase the number of drop boxes we have because they're very popular. We had a good number of people vote Monday and Tuesday. We had a total of about 2,500, a little over 2,500 people vote in person throughout the election, 1,800 of which happened on Election Day.
Hold on, let me get to that part on the chart.
Oh, okay, so that's a different one.
Yeah, we're going to go over that in a second.
And then in terms of, like, an undeliverables and NCOA, our NCOA rate actually was right where we expected it to be because we did update using NCOA leading up to as close as we could, really, up until probably the first part of October. And if we wouldn't have done that, we would have probably had double the amount. But the majority of what we had were what we expected, which were out-of-county moves. So, you know, just people that had not responded to the letter or the correspondence that we had sent them. So that was the bulk of them. Then we had another group that was previously IFTV that had moved out of the county and had not left forwarding information, or that information had expired by the time we start using NCOA. But based on what we've looked at, we likely would have had double the undeliverables had we not updated. So I think it was extremely effective for us to proactively update our address list leading up to the election. And what else?
Replacements, usual amount?
Replacements for them fairly steady, but the majority of those, if they were getting a replacement and they were at a service center, they were just voting in person. We kind of just handled them that way. So really, we saw very few that actually wanted to take it with them. They would just say, well, I want to vote now. So that option was great for that situation.
Great. All right. Anything else to...
The only other... Are you going to do same-day registration stuff later?
Yes, all of that's coming.
Okay.
Yep. I think it's on there. Well, I'll make sure we do it. Oh, yeah, I do. It's under the VSPC, which is the next topic. So, okay, great. Renee, want to talk about Delta?
Sure.
Getting your ballots out, all that good stuff.
Certainly. Our ballot delivery was the same as it's been, using the same vendor. They do the audits themselves. So because they are over in Denver, we don't get a chance to oversee them or anything. The very first time we used them, we did take a trip and watch everything being done just to get an idea of what was happening. So we felt very comfortable using them again this year. We didn't have any drop-off 24-hour boxes anywhere or drive-by. We did add an additional drop-off up in Paonia, which is they had a ballot question, so we had the town hall have a drop-off. And we received quite a few ballots that way. So that was beneficial to the voters, since how it is quite a drive from Paonia to Hotchkiss or Delta. Return mail seemed a little less. However, my undeliverables seemed high to me. I did run statistics, and I had 1,366 returned this year. I ran it against 2009, since how in 2009 we mailed to inactive voters, and I had 1,471. So I suppose there's probably a decrease, but I just still didn't expect it to be so high. 2011 was 847, but we only mailed to active voters then.
Yeah, there's also the bump after the presidentials, I know, depending on how mobile your community is.
Correct, yeah. I feel like a lot of these were out-of-state moves. Now that we're going through and looking at them, they seem to be out-of-county and out-of-state, just like Amherst.
Mm-hmm.
Our replacements were pretty consistent. We did 55 replacements in this year, and in 2011 we did 62. I did find out something very interesting. I had one person who hadn't voted since 1992. He had been canceled after the 6 year, at becoming inactive and 6 years not voting. He reinstated himself in 2010, not reinstated, but re-registered in 2010. He still hadn't voted, but he was inactive. We activated him and sent him a ballot, and he voted this year.
Huh.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
apparently, you just needed a few messages.
I guess so.
That's great. What about processing mail ballots? Any issues?
No.
Like high amount came back on election day, those kind of things?
Well, we received about 25% of our ballots the last 2 days, the Monday and Tuesday.
Is that pretty
I'm looking at the source, and it's pretty consistent. So not too much of an increase. The Saturday, being open the Saturday before, we did one replacement ballot, and we were basically just sitting there to collect drop-off ballots. So we didn't have anybody there.
Okay, great. Anything else to add on to mail ballot?
I do want to discuss eventually the ballot pickups, picking up ballots from other locations in accordance to the new rules. That seemed extremely cumbersome for our county to have to go every 24 hours.
Okay, so I'll add that to our list of issues to discuss, ballot pickup. Okay. And so that the amount of time, actually I'll just add it to the spreadsheet where we were. I'll put that under the drop-off. I'll add it there. So the 24 hours, can you say more about that? The 24 hours to pick up ballots.
Correct. So basically, we were going every day, the 8 days up to election day, to pick up from our North Fork and the town of Paonia. We did it in-house. I sent poor Ann and another staff member up there every day to pick up ballots for us. I just felt like it could be managed more by the clerk's discretion rather than having it set in rule to mandate you going every day.
Gotcha. And that was because there just weren't that many, or?
We're not that many, no. And you still have the benefit of score. But if somebody else were to vote anywhere else, that ballot will not be counted if they voted somewhere else.
Yeah, and were these just drop-off locations, Renee? There wasn't a service center there for
one
them to
service
check in or anything?
One service center, but it was an additional service center we added. We weren't required to have.
Gotcha.
But they didn't have any early voting there.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, I think that's one of those to continue to take a look at. Okay. Bo.
Hey.
How are you? How about any delivery, last-minute ballot printing or anything?
No,
that was a speed call.
Yeah, no. It was extremely, it was an extremely great election to administrate. Talk about smooth. The one thing we did change to Frederick as our printer in Denver. We did run into a couple issues with their... We ran into one issue specifically with the address hole in the envelope. We asked for a certain size. They gave us a different size, which was bigger.
Mm-hmm.
What we noticed as they were coming back as undeliverable is the mail ballot packets were being ripped by the machines.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were getting caught. So that's one thing that we're going to change for 2014 is to make sure that they're giving us the right size envelope address. I don't know what they're called. Address envelope holes. Anyway, that was one issue. And then we did notice that some of our ballots, and I'm saying maybe 10 or 12, the addresses weren't, I mean, the name, no, the actual address wasn't sprayed on the envelope packet, the mail ballot packet. So it wasn't a big thing on the undeliverables when we got them back. What we saw with the undeliverables was mostly inactive fail to vote, but we did see a small number of, they were undeliverable because there was no address on it, and therefore the postman couldn't figure out which house to drop it off at.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to just take you through some of the other items. So drop-off, 24 hours, and drive-bys?
We didn't have any 24-hour locations. We didn't have any drive-bys. We had 6 drop-off locations, and they were pretty slow all the way until the Monday and Tuesday before the election where they blew up.
Yeah.
And which was exciting for us because we really thought maybe voter fatigue from the recall had caused something in Pueblo County where people weren't going to participate because they were burned out or mad about the government. The government shutdown obviously was happening around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But we were relieved to see 40% of the ballots come in on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah. Did it feel like a get-out-the-vote effort there, too, or did you know if there were get-out-the-vote efforts going on?
You know, there was get-out-the-vote efforts through the whole time period. You know, obviously school districts have become more politicized. So we had unions and the Republican Party out there working pretty hard to get out the vote. But we didn't see any significant spikes until the last 2 days. So, and as far as ballot replacement goes, we had very few people coming in for a ballot replacement.
Okay.
And the undeliverables, I think we're at like 6.5% undeliverable, which was a little higher than 2011. And if you remember 2011, we sent out the inactive fail-to-vote ballots. And so it was a little higher than 2011, but, you know, not much. And we did run the NCOA before the recall, but we weren't able to run it after the recall.
All right, replacements. Processing, I think I heard you say just the number of mail ballots you got, so you stopped at 11.
Yeah, we definitely are going to tweak that process. We're going to, I think we have a couple of ideas out there. We have renting some more space in the same building that we're in and bringing in more teams. We had 12 teams deconstructing, and we had 4 teams signature verifying. We're probably going to ramp up on the Mondays and Tuesdays to probably 12 signature verifiers and then maybe 18 deconstructors. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Great. Anything else to add on mail ballot?
You know, I was sued the Monday before. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but I was sued by Marilyn Marks the Monday before the election on the residency, the rule 2.2.3.
Mm-hmm.
She was complaining that because of House Bill 1303, it was impossible to run a fair election. Either we were disenfranchising voters by not allowing them to vote in their school district, or we were adding voters to the pool and diluting the voters if we were ignoring 2.2.3.
Okay.
You know, she's usually on both sides of the argument, so she was on both sides of the argument. And we had a favorable ruling from the 10th District Court or the Denver District Court, and it looks, and from what I've heard, there's another lawsuit coming. I haven't heard where or when, but I know there is another lawsuit coming on that residency issue.
All right. Well, we'll look at that a bit more. For today, we'll just continue with getting, you know, some of the general election information, if that works for people.
Sure.
Although my first thought was, well, thank God it was a mail ballot election, or that would have been even harder.
Definitely.
You know, if you have to go to court the day before. So, okay. For Boulder, we used part of the same vendor. Our vendor kind of split last year, and we went with the with IVS, the people that did the actual printing part, and we kind of upped the game with them. They were really engaged, and we really appreciated their attention to detail. Again, it's like what some of you have been saying is we have worked with them for a while, and so they kind of know like what we do, what we like to, you know, what our schedule is, how our process works. Went well. One of the things we need to look at is they do quality control with a hand scanner on our barcodes, and our we use a ballot sorting machine, and it's a inline camera system, and so we had some issues with the quality of their barcodes on the envelope, which led us to have to print a replacement barcode label so that they would sort through the system. It was enough that it was annoying, but obviously not enough that it, you know, stopped us. But that's something that we'll definitely be looking at, how we continue to QC that process as well, working with both our vendor for printing and our vendor for our sorter, although really it seemed to be on the print end of things. And we did, you know, we did a sample. We did do some quality control checks. I think that's part of it. That's our next puzzle to figure out, is how do we get it a little more closely related to the live ballots that we're going to see on that. So from a delivery standpoint, that was really our only issue. They were great about pulling. We had a couple zip codes that we sent ballots out to flood impacted people early, so that they could have a chance first for the ballot to reach them if they were, you know, collecting their mail. Most of our mail for those areas were held at the post office, and people were coming in to get it. So it just gave that process a bit of a head start. It also allowed us, if they weren't going to be delivered, we would get them back sooner, so that we created a postcard that looked kind of like the mail ballot envelope. And so for all our undeliverables, we sent out that postcard afterwards that then could be forwarded to let them know that we had attempted to deliver their ballot, but since it's not forwardable, here's the steps you can take to get a ballot. And we had a pretty good response with that. We decided to do it for all our undeliverables because we had pockets throughout Boulder and Longmont that were impacted, and it was really hard to pull out either by district style or zip code and make it that specific. So we decided we would just do that outreach to all of those who voted, whose ballots came back as undeliverable. So that's pretty much it for delivery. On drop-off, we did not have any 24-hour boxes. We did have... three drive-bys that were very, very busy. Again, we were surprised at the return rate on Election Day. We ended up with about 102,000 total voters, and we got about 32,000 of those on Election Day, where usually we get 30% on Monday and Tuesday. We got that 30%, and it was late. That was the other part that was surprising, is really had a lot of people after really after 5 o'clock, and that was surprising as well. So we'll be looking at how do we do that better. I mean, we still got everybody through and got them, but that surprised us. We haven't calculated our numbers of drop-off versus mail. From the outset, it looked pretty even. We post a return chart on our website, and it started slower than it usually does, and we wondered if that might be, so much of our community was still working with the flood and really, you know, kind of dealing with those issues, and so we kind of wondered if that was what contributed to the slow start and the late finish. So normally we have kind of a C or a U-shaped curve, and this time it really was just all ramping up to where we were. So that would be it on both the drop boxes and return mail. We did have an issue with our post office. We were surprised that they used to have everything ready to go for us in the morning, and they had rearranged some of their staff, and so we had to change our pickup time. Most of the time it didn't impact us, but it was just one of those reminders to communicate with them. I mean, we do communicate with them ahead of time
just those things that haven't ever changed, to reminder to check in with them and see what has changed. Undeliverables, we have a pretty mobile community, so they are pretty high. We haven't analyzed what's left. We were really glad to do the NCOA. We had planned to do one more NCOA, but instead, with that was right the weekend when the flood happened, and so we weren't able to access our building, and then we were into the throes of getting, you know, adjusting our plan for the flood, and so we ended up not being able to do a second NCOA like we had hoped. So replacements were about the normal, and again, our ballot processing, it took us longer than we anticipated. We did call in some extra teams to help us get opened and separated, and we'll be looking again at that of our set point gearing up for a higher amount with that than we have previously. So that's, yeah, again, we had about a 32% turnout on election day. So that's mail ballot. Anybody have any other comments when they've heard other people, or questions for anyone on what you've heard? Everyone re-geared their caffeine for the next one? Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Excellent. When everyone's on mute, it's really silent. So, all right, let's jump into VSPCs. We'll see if we can do this. We'll start with Larimer. Do you have numbers on how many new registrants you got during the time period?
I do. I just have to.
Great.
Give me just a second.
Okay.
Let's see. I have them actually by site, if that's okay. We have three sites.
Sure.
Let's see. We had 131 at our courthouse site, 29 at our Loveland site, and 10 in Essex.
And that's for the whole time period?
That's for the whole time period.
Wow.
Obviously more at the last days.
Yeah.
Last 2 days. Yeah.
Okay. Great. And then how busy, I guess maybe if we go to how many in-person voters did you get?
Okay. We had, again, let's see. Sorry, I have to separate.
You can give them by sites. We'll add them up.
Yeah. In-person at Carter, we had 1462. In Loveland, we had 533. And in Estes, we had 203.
So wait, hold on. So at 533. And 243. Okay. And again, do you have it broken out by election day or not? Or
I actually do. On election day, let's see, it'd be 925, 369, and 147.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we were very busy election day.
Yeah. Yeah. And time-wise, did you find they came later in the afternoon like some had other counties were experiencing, or not notable?
No, on election day, it was busy from about 2 o'clock on. That's about when I was down.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, great. We geared up. We brought in more staff and more computers, so.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Okay, anything else for the VSPCs?
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
I was trying great. I'm trying to go back and forth between statistics and notes.
Yeah, exactly. The general. So, okay. And were you surprised at how busy they were, or was that what you were expecting, or really no idea since it really is a new model?
Well, in 2011, we were very, very busy because of the issues on our ballots, and we had kind of planned on that. It was extremely slow up until Friday. And mm-hmm. then with it getting busier on Friday, and then obviously much busier on Monday, Saturday was totally slow. We went ahead and geared up planning on that election day being very busy.
Gotcha.
So had planned on it, had contingency plan, and went ahead and implemented contingency plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, okay. Somewhat surprised considering how slow it was before.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thanks. Amber, you want to talk us through Denver? Do you have how many new registrants did you get during the time period? And if you have them by election day, too, that's fine. If not.
Yeah. So we had
So we had 68 registrants, new registrants on Election Day itself.
Mm-hmm.
And leading up to Election Day, it was, hold on, I gotta pull this number real quick. I think 377.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. And then, again, with the busyness of the centers, was it what you expected? Busier? Any days slower? That kind of stuff?
We were... it was busy on Election Day, and it was mostly, you know, people had moved and had not updated or had moved into Denver from another county. Pretty much that was it, or some, you know, and then if they already had a mail ballot issued to them, they needed a replacement, so then they just voted in person. Mm-hmm. And then about 68 of those were new registrants. So, I mean, we had 1,877 people vote in person.
On Election Day?
On Election Day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I have it down there. Yep. Okay. And I think you said about 2,500 total?
A little over 2,500 total vote in person. So most of that happened on Election Day, and the Monday before was a lot heavier than any other day as well. And the Saturday wasn't bad for us, to be honest. We were actually busier than some of the other days on Saturday, and we had about 5,000 ballots dropped off in person at our sites on Saturday. So Saturday wasn't, some locations were busier than others. Our downtown location was not as busy as the other sites, but our downtown location is the busiest all the other days.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of one of those things. I mean, I think people... The downtown area, there's not as many people that live, so Saturday's not as busy. So,
yeah.
24-hour boxes for us are just a huge thing, and we're going to continue to expand those because people are really using those. And our box that, you know, we've strategically placed them. We had one at an RTD station that was pretty popular, and then kind of all of the popular areas of town in terms of turnout. We always see a lot of boxes dropped at those sites, ballots dropped at those sites. So.
Yeah, and so that takes some of the pressure off your VSPCs as well, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, looking just at some of our numbers, I mean, one of our sites had 12,000 ballots dropped off in person. So if we would have that would have been 12,000 or probably, you know, a good number of that would have had to park and come in.
Mm-hmm.
And to eliminate that with drive-ups or 24-hour drop boxes, that helps us in terms of volume because we don't have that much parking.
Yeah.
So it kind of all interrelates. And for us, we have to use drive-ups. We have to use 24-hour drop boxes to kind of alleviate the stress of the parking situation.
Yeah, definitely. Great. Okay. Yeah, we can do the math on that one. All right, anything else for voter service and polling centers?
No, I think the only other thing, and I don't know if you're going to bring it up at some point, I'd like to talk about OLVR because we had a lot of feedback on OLVR on primarily the last 2 days, Monday and then Election Day, and there's significant confusion. So
that's one of those items is the messaging with OLVR.
And how we should be utilizing it because, frankly, people had their – they had printed the information that confirmed that they were registered, and they think they're registered, and they're not. And so I think that the messaging on the state site needs to be significantly modified because people were not at all clear that they were not registered to vote. So I think that created some significant confusion. I saw a lot of that on the last 2 days.
Yeah, and I'll highlight that as one of the ones in red as well, and we'll figure out, you know, we'll talk more about it next week as well when we talk about what do we want to bring forward to the commission, and that's got to be one on there as well. So, okay, great. Renee, how about your voter service centers? They sounded quiet.
It was
or usual, I guess. Or usual, I guess.
Yeah, before Election Day, we had 5 people vote early. On Election Day, we had 95. So we did get quite a bit busier.
So that was in-person voting?
Yes, in-person voting. Most of it was replacement.
Okay. And then what about registration? Did you get very many new registrants during the time period and on election day?
I had 23 total new registrations. Most of them, believe it or not, were 18-year-olds that were just registering to vote. Only one on election day. And we had a lot of the, we had 50 moved from other counties come in and register as well in that time frame.
So an address change on that.
Correct.
Great. And then, so I got your in-person and before election day. Any other observations for your voter service centers, either for our group or the commission to be aware of? I'll put that you added a second. You added two more, right?
We added one more service center and one additional drop-off. Uh-huh. And it helps. The North Fork is really kind of distant. I did have a lot of requests for a drop-off location on Election Day in the Cedar Edge area, which is about 20 minutes from Delta.
Mm-hmm.
We had planned on doing that for the 2014 general anyway, just to eliminate people confusion about polling locations.
Yeah.
We have a drop-off at all of our polling locations, previous polling locations. But we didn't see the need for that this year because we hadn't ever done that in coordinated elections before.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, great.
That was about it for us.
Okay, great. Fran, Mantra?
I see here, VSPC, I think I pretty well gone over it, pretty quiet, early voting, in person, I think we had...
Down for 70?
Is that total. That was a whole total for the whole thing. Election Day was our biggest one. I think we had maybe 50 there, and then the rest were before that, the early voting.
Okay. And then what about registration? Did you get very many new registrants during the time period?
I think we had a total of 9. Yeah.
Great. And then the rest were all, if there was an address change and that sort of thing.
Replacements, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Any other observations? I do think you talked about it. Just given you the opportunity.
Nope.
Thank you. Okay. Bo, how about in Pueblo? How many new registrants did you guys get?
Excuse me. We had 220, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
202, I'm sorry, new registrants. We only had about 13 or 14 on Election Day.
Wow.
So it wasn't a big Election Day.
Yeah.
We didn't see a lot of replacement ballots. We didn't see a lot of action in our VSPC on Election Day. The busyness that we had was drop-off and just handling the ballots. So.
Gotcha. And then, so your centers, like I said earlier, pretty slow up until the Monday and Tuesday?
Our drop-off locations were pretty slow until Monday and Tuesday. Friday actually was very busy also.
Friday was busy also. And then what about Saturday?
Saturday we were dead, which was great because it gave us a chance to catch up with everything.
Yeah, exactly, to recover a bit. Okay. Great. And okay. And then I have you with about 360 total people voting in person.
Yes.
That sound right? And do you know how many on Election Day?
I don't, but I can break that out and send it in an email to you.
That's great. And I'm going to send out, and you can edit my version of the sheet. I tried to capture what you guys were saying, so if it doesn't match, you can adjust. But then if you can fill in any numbers on it for next week, that would be great. Any other observations about your VSPCs that you want the commission or are thinking about for 2014?
Well, I got very little negative feedback. Actually, everybody loves the system, and they kept on asking me, what was so different? Why is it such a big deal in the news? They didn't understand what was so different since they were voting like that in most elections anyway. We did get a few complaints of people on Election Day that they had to drive all the way into the city basically 20 miles to vote. So in the future, we'll probably set up extra VSPCs above and beyond what we're required to have.
In the coordinated?
Yeah. We didn't do that this time because of the recall and all the issues that we had before. And because we had, in a coordinated election, we had always used just one replacement location anyway, so that we figured that's what they were used to. But in the future, we might add at least, you know, a VSPC out in Pueblo West probably.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a large amount of ballots hand-delivered, not returned through the mail. So it was probably 60% to 30%.
And all right, and then so for Boulder, we had our total, I want to say it's 235. I can't find the sheet right in front of me. I know we had 125 on Election Day for new registrants. And most of those were at our, we did four locations, and one of them was up on CU, up at CU, and a good portion of our new registrants were at CU. And we found the same thing. Most of them were people who were 18-year-olds who were able to vote for the first time. Our centers were, we opened one center in Longmont, and then we had our main office, but we opened the one in Longmont because that's where most of the people from the flood had been relocated. And it was pretty slow, but, you know, still good outreach if people were ready to think about that. We were really slow, again, up until, it picked up a bit on Friday, but really until Monday and Tuesday we were slow. And Saturday, we went ahead and kept all our hours consistent, so we were open from 8 until 6, and Saturday was, you know, paint dry slow. it was. And then our in-person voting, we had a total of 2,900 vote in person, and I cannot find my list for the in-person, but most of those were, it was over, you know, 1,800 were on Election Day, so good majority were on Election Day of those. Then overall, we were happy with the centers. We are curious about the drop-off boxes, so we're looking at the 24 hours and is that, you know, will that work for us as well? We added some drop-off locations that were not voter service centers, and we had some people who really, like, I mean, we've been doing mail ballot for the odd year election since at least 2000, and they had polling place expectations, and so that caught us a little bit by surprise. So we had actually added service, but in their minds, we were missing. So this was some of our mountain ones. Like, we had one up in Nederland, which is a good way up the mountain, and we added a drop-off location. We had a few people, you know, maybe five or so that had the expectation that it would be they could get a ballot replacement and all that, and then waited till Election Day to do so. So I don't know. I think that's probably more education, because we did get a lot of drop-offs. We had over 200 people drop off their ballot at that location, so it's definitely worth having the drop-off there. It will most likely be a service center next year. I'm still not sure, you know, what you do about that, you know, switching back and forth from year to year. So that's something we'll look at, and I lean a little bit towards just investing, even if it's a shorter window, investing in making it a service center. Again, you know, that's like if you change up what's available, getting people into the habit. So that was ours. What about Sheila, you and Mesa?
Which one do you want to start with, the registration?
Yeah, let's start with registration.
In the voter service and polling centers, we had 6 registrations total after the 22-day cutoff. I mean, like, well, I guess 6 total in the VSPCs, really, is what I mean.
Yeah.
And 4 of them came on Election Day.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I wondered how Bo pulled his numbers, because we should be somewhat similar.
Yeah.
If we included OLVR and in-office and everything, we would have, like, 86, I believe. Total, so
that might be something for us to look at, is how, you know, what reports are we using to pull these numbers from, and are there, you know, are there flags to turn on or off depending on that? So I'm going to make
We had just very minimal amounts of registrations for sure. after the cutoff, I think most of our voters were up to date and was no big deal.
Great.
And then for in-person voting, we had a total of 390 for the entire time. And we were just painfully slow. We had three voter service and polling centers. We have three motor vehicle offices. And so we only saw 127 people for the whole week and 2 days leading up to the election. And then on election day, we saw 263 of them.
Wow. Yeah.
But even that split between three locations is still pretty painfully slow for the in-person.
Absolutely. Well, and if you compare it to early voting, it's like those are all still, even our, for us, our busy day, it's still a you know, pretty average early voting day.
Yeah, not bad at all. No. So the VSPCs were definitely not overwhelmed. The election judges were actually just asking for anything in the world to do to keep themselves busy during that time. So that was an eye-opener for me because they just weren't utilized,
yeah.
You know, for that entire time frame.
How about your flow? I think you said it was pretty slow up until the Monday and Tuesday, and even then. I mean,
And that was all in the mail ballot room. It was drop-off.
Right, and then it picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else to add on VSPCs for the group or the commission?
I don't think so.
All right. And I actually had one more item that I wanted to just put on the table for us to be thinking about is people returning other people's ballots and that whole 10-ballot rule and law. And did you guys see very much of that? We'll talk more next time, but that's one of those that I'd like us to take a little bit of a look at because I know for our county, we had a fair amount of that. There's also a rumor that there was a call that went out to people in one of our communities, and if they wanted someone to pick up their ballot, they could call that. I'm still investigating as to, you know, how that, what was said and what was meant, and, you know, sometimes it's a little bit of a game of telephone of the story, so I'm trying to sort out what exactly happened. Did you guys have any issues with people bringing in multiple ballots and dropping them off that rose to attention level?
Hillary, this is Michael. I know that I received a couple different calls from lawyers out in D.C. inquiring about that and trying to figure out ways either around it or asking, you know, is this something they're actually going to check on? What can someone bring in 9 ballots 2 hours later, go to a different place and take in 8 ballots? You know, trying to figure out different ways to work around the rule. So it was definitely an issue that some groups out there were looking at on the national level. And I don't know who they were associated with, but
yeah.
We did get calls and questions about that 10-ballot requirement.
Yeah, I know in our county, we keep just a list of people who bring in more than 5. But again, if you brought in 4 at a time, I don't know if we would know. So it's just something to either, if it's not enforceable, do we remove it? Or, you know, and then you put out the message to people, you shouldn't turn your ballot over to a stranger. Or I don't know what to do and not to solve that today. But I definitely know, I think that's going to ramp up.
I received
based on your
call.
Conversation. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was letting you, sorry.
I'm so sorry. I received a call here in Delta County, and I don't know where the call came from, if it was locally or not, but she was wanting to know if we had the same rules about ballot drop-off as the state. And I told her we do, and that they couldn't return more than 10, and we would keep a list of that, of voters that do, and that was the end of it. I didn't see anything suspicious.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
Hillary, this is Michael again. I did have one more thing on VSPCs. We got a call from someone and I think received some other comments about the voter registration and polling center form.
Mm-hmm.
The sentiment was that people were upset that they were being forced to fill out a registration form in order to essentially check in at the voter service and polling center. Mm-hmm. And so that may just be something to consider as a best practice, you know, that form doing the job that it needs to do. Is there something better, like a signature card that could be used? And, you know, just to get feedback at some point from different counties that utilize different processes to figure out what worked best.
In our training manuals, we had the signature card scenario so that they didn't have to do that. So I think
a lot of counties actually
did split that apart.
Yeah. And we would be one that didn't, and that was part of what we wanted to see, was because we get so many people who get up to the line and actually do have a registration change, usually
sure.
they're in line to begin with. But that is something we're going to look at as well of, you know, do you just do with the, yeah, we're still evaluating that on that, so.
Perfect.
Did most people use signature cards that are on the phone?
Pueblo used signature cards.
Gotcha.
Denver used the Voter Service and Polling Center form for address changes or new registrations only. So if it was a replacement, they got a replacement ballot by getting their, you know, showing their ID, and we looked them up that way. And then if they were just voting in person and registering for the new time, first time, they would fill out the form if they were a new registrant and then vote in person using a signature card. So for voting purposes, we thought it was best to have it, they're either voting with a mail ballot envelope and signing it, or they're using a signature card and signing that affidavit, and then the combo form was only for changes to score.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that's the way we're leaning based on our experience with it, but that's good to hear.
Delta County followed that as well.
Great.
Montrose did the same as Denver. Worked out great.
Great. Okay. Sounds like the call might have been about us, Michael.
It was about Jefferson County and Arapahoe County. Okay. Not about Boulder.
Others are doing it too, yeah. Well, and that's one of those things. I'm actually going to highlight that for, you know, when we have some conversation at conference as well to talk about that experience and stuff. So, okay. Next is, so we have... I'm just looking at our time. Let's do the security conversation, and then we'll I'm going back and forth. Yeah, let's do the security conversation, and then we'll probably do score next time. Just with it's already 10:30, so and I'm trying to think how to. I know well, and maybe we don't need to do too much other than gather the information, because or maybe Michael, you can speak to this because with the audits that you guys did. The security checks and those sorts of things as you visited centers. Not sure how, it's one of the issues that the commission is very interested in, and we need to figure out how to give them some information. I'm just not sure how we go about that.
Yeah, and I think the trying to figure out how we go about it is going to be important because mm-hmm. this is a public meeting. Mm-hmm. I don't know that now's the best time to talk about details.
Yeah. That was where I was going as well, but we still need to figure out, like,
how that
maybe
works.
People more global, I don't know, or maybe it's one of those, maybe that's something Trevor's group looks at, and I'm not sure. So ideas from people, I don't want to talk specifics, I'm with you on that one, but then how do we?
It may be something as far as the commission asking, you know, is there an option to do, like, an executive session type meeting, talk about specific security issues or features or things that we can possibly implement in the future, but they do need to be held in somewhat of a confidential setting, is my thought.
Yeah. And maybe there's also, like, the process that you guys use to evaluate it without talking about the issues.
Sure. And I think that Trevor's group, to the extent that Rich Schleip is helping Trevor,
mm-hmm.
will be able to provide the kind of metrics that are, or the, I guess, the checklist that's being used to review what's going on in a voter center or voting service and polling center. So my initial thought is that Trevor's group is probably better equipped than I am, at least, to kind of give those broad strokes.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, well, if the group's okay with that, we'll follow that up with, I actually have a call into Trevor anyway, so let me follow that up with Trevor, and then we'll separate process from content, so that the and then see about can we do an executive session and
that maybe that's a part of one of our December meetings. So is there any objections to going about it in that way? I always take silence as consent, so moving on. Let's move on to SCORE. Again, I just pulled out some big, broad areas. Let's see, who did we start with last time? Let's start with Delta. I have it from, how did election set up, VSPC use, post-election balancing, reports, other observations. Those are the categories. But if feel free to just comment.
Okay. Like we discussed, our VSPC use was minimal. During a general election, I suspect that it would be greater use. Post-election balancing was the same as it's always been. I run the same report. I did observe, which to me, it took longer to process a voter, having to go into voter registration, surrender their ballot, go into early voting, and have them either vote what we would call paper or plastic, our electronic equipment, or a paper ballot. And we did the ballot on demand. It just felt like it took a little longer to process a voter than I was comfortable with. Even though we didn't have a lot of use, on Election Day, having 95 people come in, Ashton and I were busy.
Yeah. Okay, so that might be one of those, is there a way to speed up the surrendering of the ballot?
Correct.
If you vote them in person and early. For some reason, you guys are much more detailed there. I thought that's how it works, but it doesn't. It sounds like that's not the case. Like, first you have to void their ballot and then issue them a flat ballot.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
And this is Amber. That goes back to, there's been an open spirit ticket on this since 2008. We asked for everything to be in one module even back in 2008. And it goes into that whole discussion. Everything in one module would certainly make it easier for everybody. Even prior to the new model or any of the new legislation, it's always been kind of a challenge to sort of flip back and forth because we've always had to make address changes or, deal with replacement ballots at the site. So
really not a new issue. I don't even know if it becomes more important. It's one of those we'd always been hoping to get. So, okay. Renee, anything with reports or other observations? It sounds like, I won't fill in. Any other things with reports or other observations?
Everything else was pretty consistent to how we've done it in the past.
Okay. And then at some point maybe we'll do a different breakout or have an email on, what reports did you actually use and are people, what are we using and is that... Are there differences? So, but not right now. So, Montrose, anything else, Renee? Sorry.
I suppose that kind of brought up something, that the ballot on demand was different for me this year. So, being able to keep track of ballot inventory changed dramatically. So, I'd be interested to hear how other counties do that.
We'll add that to the list of one of our topics. I'll highlight that one in red as something to continue the conversation on.
Okay.
Great. Thanks. Fran, in Montrose.
I have to echo what Renee said. We've used the same reports that we've always used, no issues. I did find it cumbersome, as Renee said, in registering or surrendering a ballot, having to move between the modules. That really needs to be more streamlined there. Other than that, I did mention that we did have some slowdown with our wireless connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I didn't really see anything different.
Okay. Definitely something for us to look at for next year, the wireless. Okay, great. All right, Bo.
Yeah, I think everything they said.
You can tell we're at the end of been talking for a while, but well, if you have anything else to add, but yeah, I mean, I think that's a lot of people's experience was, you know, score was pretty much the same. The issues that we've had are still the issues, and where it works, it works.
Yeah, it, I mean, everything worked great. We were so happy with everything that happened. As far as reporting, you know, we're one ballot off right now for the canvas, and we're going to find that today. Everything's going great. You know, we did have a little bit of a slowdown because of, you know, having to have two separate computers and two separate modules, but we worked through that in the recall, and it worked just fine for this election. But other than that, it was very, very smooth.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. Capturing the notes enough. But. All right. We would be up next, and I would think our comments are pretty similar. Election setup and generation was how we usually do it. We I know we got some instructions on how to pull ballots as part of the process. We were already following that. I don't know if that it came out in September, which is, you know, about a lifetime ago. I don't know if you guys remember, it was just how you're pulling your batches, and I think with the UACAVAs as well. So that, actually, that's probably a subject to add is UACAVAs. I'm just sorry for another time. But we that worked well. Similar in VSPCs, it's the switching back and forth of the modules that it, you have to surrender one in order to move them forward. So looking at how that can be more efficient. Post-election balancing, we are looking at, we might do something different with the labels that get printed out of score, or using more of that to do some of our balancing, especially if we have issues. We also are looking at treating the way we currently did our VSPCs is ballots would come back in the ballot box, the flat ballots would come back in the ballot box each day here. We're looking at doing it like you do, treating it like a polling place, how you would shut down a polling place each night, so that if there's any discrepancies, you catch them sooner, and, you know, ensuring the vote credit was given correctly. That's similar how we did it with early voting, and I'm not sure. I think we had Service Center from our previous years in mind, and so I'm not, I have to go investigate how that got switched, but we used to do that, and I think that was one of those where we just need to do better training and communicate better on balancing at the end of each day, and that therefore it will take us less time to close out and balance at the end. The reports were we used the same reports as well. That's pretty much. And otherwise, I would say just looking at how we're gonna keep the speed going with them and make the process as efficient as possible. All right, Mesa?
Just same as it always was.
Same as it always is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any, okay.
Yeah, there's nothing new. I agree with what's been said.
The same.
There were some existing issues with some, like, kind of inefficiencies in the early voting module with issuing in-person ballots, but that's been there before. So it was the same as we've done.
Larimer? And I know some of, like, we haven't even done post-review with our staff, so this may change after we actually go and talk to some of them. But with Larimer, you guys, what?
Yeah.
Any additional comments?
No, the same comments as above. And I do agree with Renee about that tracking ballot inventory on the BOD changing. We do need some better reporting on those BODs. So, reports, I should say.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, while we use the same reports, is that the most efficient way for us to get that information? I think it's worth, well, it's, you know, what information are we looking for? And, yeah, so Cynthia, you want to lead up a reports group? I'm just kidding. I just had to say it.
I always open my mouth, don't I? You know, actually, I
was just really being mean based on the number of years that you
have. That's okay, because, you know, we're going to meet it up with Runbeck. We're going to talk to them.
Great.
They need to improve the reports. So
their reports, great. Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah. Everything else has been said.
Pretty much the same?
Okay. Pretty much
all right.
The same.
Amber, what about you guys?
Well, I agree with everything that's been said, and I think, again, the score module piece, that you know, that's, and I think it's actually our spirit ticket going back to 2008, the putting everything in one so that it's easier. I also think that after the eight-day window to mail to people, I think that the automatically generating a ballot when you register someone or change something should stop. So I was thinking that, because then you wouldn't have to surrender, then you would just issue. So I think some of those little tweaks could probably make it easier, and I don't think that that would take significant. Well, I know that the state's already worked on a module that does all of it. Really, just putting everything in the registration module would probably make the most sense. But at any rate, I think the switching back and forth needs to definitely be modified. You know, we've worked on that for a few years, so hopefully we can get that done this time. And then I think, you know, the things that we don't have control over are often the things that can cause the confusion. So the OLVR messaging and some of that stuff was definitely an issue, and I can see that being a big issue next year if it's not resolved in some way. I think UOCAVA's, and, you know, if they update their status on OLVR, we need to really look at that, which is kind of a separate thing from VSPCs.
Mm-hmm.
We had some issues there as well. So I think that OLVR piece, and then just the cutoff, which we've talked about in terms of cleanup, but the cutoff for forms and motor V and some of that at 22 just doesn't work very well. So I think that that also is something that affects the operation of the service center. So I definitely want to work on that piece. But other than that, you know, everything is very, very similar, almost exactly the same as how we handled the primary last year, previous mail ballot elections, and then even early voting last year operated in very much the same way. So, and we also had very few provisionals. Yay.
Yeah, so, I forgot to add those. Maybe that's our, we'll close on that.
Our provisionals are mostly people that don't live in Denver, so as they should be.
Yeah.
But that's the provisional piece, I think, was great because, you know, as people were, you know, moving from other counties or updating their information or registering for the first time, those would have been provisionals in a previous year, and I think that that is a significant, you know, help because we only had 27 in the whole election, so that is a significant difference for us because those take a lot longer to process.
Yeah. Do you know how many ended up counting?
We haven't processed them.
Haven't got that right. Okay.
Great.
So let's close. Oh, actually, let's come back to provisionals if we have just a couple minutes, and then I just want to also, Michael, did you have anything to add on these, and then also make more space for you on the next call too, of anything you heard around the voter service centers or in the score?
Hillary, one more thing. Mm-hmm. I have my. Did you want to talk about the types of IDs today, or is that a different meeting?
Let me add that to the list.
That
would be one of those things to, especially because we have like 11 minutes left. But I highlighted some stuff in red that are, you know, the new topics that have come up, and we'll look at how do we cover those next week. I'll put them on the list for next week's meeting. Okay. So, Michael, anything that you've heard on the score end? I know you've jumped in on the other categories, and I'm sorry I didn't make more space for that. But we will next week.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's anything really too big. I know we were seeing a lot of latency on our end on Election Day, but, you know, that's probably something that's just any network's going to see it. It wasn't necessarily something that we could control, and so I think just, you know, going forward, just us working with each county, trying to figure out how to make things as efficient as possible and to avoid those issues of latency when they occur is something that is good. But we had a great experience with DRC this election cycle. They were on site and were giving us a lot of support. Going forward, we are going to have to look at the number of licenses that we have per score and how we allocate those and how we get additional licenses if needed. And Citrix licenses, I'm sorry, is what I'm referencing. And so there's just some things that we need to think about, I think, going forward from a score standpoint. But some of the other things, just VSPCs too, I guess maybe for this group to think about in the future, how we might deal with some of the weird affiliation scenarios that might pop up with some of with the 29-day affiliation deadline and then same-day registration and same-day changes, things along those lines for the primary. But, yeah, really, I think from our side, things seem to go pretty smooth.
Great.
So.
Okay, great. Thanks. Let's do a quick rundown on provisionals. How many you got, how many you accepted, and any pattern? So, Fran, how about you? How many provisionals?
Zero.
No pattern. The pattern was none. Bo, how about you?
Pattern was broken.
Pattern was not needed. All right.
Right.
Bo, how about you?
We had four, and I'm not sure how many we accepted yet.
Okay. We had 15, and we accepted two. I know one of them was an in-person voter who didn't have ID. I don't know what the other one was. Mesa.
We had two, the last I know, and haven't processed them yet.
Okay. Larimer?
We had 10, and we have not processed those, but I remember being down at the site. It was mostly addressing issues.
Mostly address.
Yeah, it seemed that way.
I know our ones that were rejected were people who didn't live in Boulder County and still wanted to vote, or some of them even lived out of the state. So, okay. Delta, how about you? Denver had 27, just so you know.
Delta didn't have any.
Zero. Okay. Great. All right. Well, so we will have another call next week. I'll send this out if you want to still be brief but edit your comments a bit. That's totally fine. Then we'll look at this list and decide. I'll send some timelines when I'd like information back to you so that we have a chance to take a look at it and decide, you know, what do we want to report to the commission on the 25th. If anybody wants to come to town to speak about their county's experience, that would be great. On December 9th, at that meeting, I'm going to work to get the regional chairs to come and talk about their region, because the commission really is interested in hearing from people other than Fran and I, and not that they have any issue with us. It's just that just helps them, you know, really hear when they hear from different clerks. So, but we'll talk all about that next week. So think about that if you can be in town on the 25th. I know that's a hard week because it is Thanksgiving, but just putting that out there. And then if not that week, then think about coming on the 29th. And telling people about your experience, what happened in 2013, and what you see the items are to focus on for 2014. All right, any other questions or comments from the group? Okay. Really appreciate you all making the time, especially when we're still finishing up the election. Thanks for your input. And we'll see some of you next week. Or hear some of you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks.